Proverbs 4, verse 11. Now, for just a reminder on the context, this paragraph is being approached in what way by Solomon? We talked this through last week, that we started at the beginning of the paragraph, but this whole paragraph, how is Solomon teaching? Where's he getting the teaching from?
From his father.
Say it.
From his father.
Yes. You know, so he's kind of giving a glimpse into, okay, this is something that I took away from my dad. His dad was who?
David.
Okay, so King David. And so he's passing that down. And so it's just a little contextual difference on that. The way we approach it is still going to be the same. But just to keep that in mind. So we're going to pick it up there at 11. So someone go ahead and read us the whole way through 19, though.
I've taught you the way of wisdom. I've led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble.
Okay. So, as we're thinking through, Solomon is passing this along. He's got this from time with his dad. Now, we did say that, what kind of dad was David? What was that? Say
it. He was
all right. He was just all right. Yeah. And, you know, even though David had a heart after God's heart, we do have to admit that in certain areas of his life, he was not who God wanted him to be. And one of those was as a father. But that doesn't mean that he wasn't godly at all as a father. Right? And so so just think through that as we have this teaching. So somebody go ahead and hit 11 and 12 for us, and let's go back and just walk through.
I have taught you the way of wisdom, and led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble.
So what's the thought with those two verses?
If you heed wisdom, then you will be, your walk will be better.
Okay. All right.
Less pain, maybe.
Yes.
He's obviously comparing wisdom to light, and that it illuminates your path and it allows you to see the traps and snares.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we think about, Scripture is to be a lamp. And if you think about back in those days, they didn't have the, 10,000 lumen flashlights and spotlights. And so, the lamp really only illuminated, for your next step and your next step. Within that. All right. Somebody else, something in those two verses, 11 and 12.
It's kind of like he's saying that, he strives to lead by example.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like obviously he's not saying he's perfect at it, but he's striving then.
There was an effort that was going on as a dad to pass on that godly wisdom. And we touched on that last week, so we won't go down that road, but as dads, we need to be doing that. Right? Stumbling. What is stumbling in life? So give me examples. Of course, not when you stumble, but think about somebody sitting close to you. What does it look like when they stumble?
It's quite the show.
So, background, you know, since Mr. Dave just threw Miss Jan under the bus there.
No, Becky. No.
Becky did?
No.
I didn't hear Becky.
Not her.
Yeah, so we were walking along in Jerusalem, and we were in a little bit of a hurry. We had a certain place we were supposed to get at a certain time, and the stone walkway changed. And as it did, Miss Jan had a physical stumble. And so that's what Mr. Dave was referencing there on that. So, Okay. Other than physical stumbles on there, as Christians, what does it look like when we stumble? What are examples of us stumbling?
When we give into sin.
Say that?
When we give into sin.
Okay, when we give into sin?
Yeah.
Broken relationships.
There you go. Broken relationship.
Losing your temper.
There you go. Somebody else. What's it look like when we stumble?
Misplacing our trust.
Huh?
Selfishness.
Okay. When we stumble.
Run.
Letting
our mouths run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When we stumble.
Pride.
Yes.
Root of a lot of those,
right?
Yeah. Ashamed
of yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so let's keep moving here. Somebody hit us with 13.
Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life.
So what's the physical imagery that we're getting from Solomon, from David here? What about godly wisdom do we need to be doing?
Holding on to it. Literally.
Okay. Yeah. You know, he really wants us to understand that it's something to be grasped. Right? So when you think about things that you grasp in your life, what are things that you grasp?
My phone.
Okay.
Yeah. My children.
Okay. What are other things that you grasp onto, you hold on to tight?
Financial discipline.
Okay. Yeah.
Things that are valuable to you.
Okay.
I was going to say things that like cannot be equated with like the physical value of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the second part of that picture is not only hold on to it, but to do what?
So
why do we need to guard godly wisdom? Is it like weak? You know, is it going to fall prey? What's the picture there? Why are we guarding godly wisdom?
Because will we guard?
What I think about is when Satan tempted Jesus, he used scripture. So my thought is you are given wisdom, but the enemy will try to insert little things into that wisdom in order to divert you from the wise path.
Yeah, so it's really the way we interact with the wisdom of God that we need to be guarding to protect it.
Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness. I'm thinking of all of that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Sword and spirit.
Yep.
There's a reason why he says to put those things on. Because it's important we put it on daily to guard ourselves, because the enemy is going to attack us moment by moment. Not just day by, just moment by moment, second by second. Mm-hmm. He's after us. It says he's a prowling lion seeking whom he may devour. And so if you are a Christian, he's after you.
Mm-hmm.
He knows he cannot snatch you from the Father's hands, per se.
And as he is doing that, we always do need to keep in mind there is a reason why he's doing it. The reason why he's doing it is to lessen the glory that we bring to God. He's not attacking you and me because he's against you and me. So don't have a woe is me pity party. You know, oh man, you're Satan, he's attacking me. You're just a means to the end. You know, the battle's between him and God. You know, so we need to make sure that we don't put ourselves up there, you know, that, you know, oh, well, Satan's attacking me. Well, yeah, he is, but it's just because he's going through us, because we're supposed to be glorifying God. And so now he's just trying to diminish that and lessen that as much as possible. And so just a subtle nuance there.
All right. So that
watch us. People watch us.
Yeah.
And they see us and we'll see.
Yep.
See, God's not in charge.
Yep.
If he is.
I also thought it was interesting to tie to the parable of the sower, in which that the seed fell on the side and was taken away from them before it could settle in their heart, which is, you know, we get the word, and then in this case, we're not clinging to it. We don't really value it at the moment, and it departs from us, basically.
And not only the first seed, the path, but yet then the second seed and the third, mm-hmm. you know, on there. Because when we see the four options, the four paths, the four soils, only the fourth produces fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to me, the point to that picture is, out of the four soils, the fourth one are the only ones that are believers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have some that grow up real quick, but then because of the heat and there's no root, they die down. And then some start to grow, but then they let the vines and that, you know, kill them off. And so all those three are people that had a moment with God, but yet didn't guard it and believe and live it out.
Yeah, it didn't make the, in this case, the wisdom and the instruction did not take root into the person's heart.
And to bear fruit on that. All right, so somebody give us 14, 15.
Don't set foot on the path of the wicked. Don't proceed in the way of evil ones. Avoid it. Don't travel on it. Turn away from it and pass it by.
So what's the picture here?
Mm-hmm.
Who's being pictured?
A traveler.
Okay. And what type? What type of person? How would we distinguish this person or these people?
Unbelievers.
Okay. So we would say unbelievers, that they're not taking advantage of what?
Wisdom.
Say it.
Wisdom.
Yeah, you know, when we're looking at them, you know, they're wicked, so they're not employing the godly wisdom within their lives. And so we would say unbelievers, but yet I still also think, though, that there's application, because even as believers, if we're not living out God's wisdom, we can fall into this same trap. We might not lose our salvation, but we can still go down the wrong path. And so we just need to think through that. There's definitely lost people, you know, they're not using godly wisdom. But yet, as believers, we have to be actively using it, because what is the natural tendency for us as believers? The natural tendency.
To take the easy way at the moment.
Yeah. Because our sin nature is aware. Our flesh is aware. Did it go anywhere? It didn't go anywhere. So where is it?
Right here.
It right here. Okay? And so Mike's natural tendency is to let Mike be in charge and do Mike things. That's the natural part. Surrendering to the Spirit, the dying to self, that's not natural for us. And that's why we've got to focus on it. You know, Hebrews talks about, you know, we will drift away. Drifting away is really what is natural to us. Drifting away from God. So that's where we got to always be course correcting to the Holy Spirit in that. So
I really love the imagery of grasping and guarding, because it is, it's like I can be grasping, 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 and the second I let go, then I'm mm-hmm. hearing from the path. So it's mm-hmm. this constant walk, moment by moment, rather than like, oh, but sometimes we get this image of like the moment that something happens, and it's like, nope, that's not living by wisdom. Wisdom is that you have to keep holding it.
And also we need accountability a lot of times. Like, we need other friends, Christian brothers, alongside us, and they see us starting to stumble, to say to us, hey, I noticed that you're walking this way in life.
And that's where we have to open ourselves up to that. You know, you have to be vulnerable to people. And so you've got to, like, have conversations with them, opening that door of accountability. Because that doesn't happen naturally either.
And the boundary between being on the path and on the path is so, by the time that it is, right, the boundary of good and evil is, you've already let go.
It might be like 1 degree off, but when you're down the road a mile, 2 miles, 10 miles, now you're like miles off.
you know, looking at verse 14, it's interesting. I'm thinking the wording, you know, wicked and evil. If I'm not a believer and I'm reading this, I'm like, well, I'm not wicked and I'm not evil. So you know, I think it's important for us to define those and understand really what they are, because I think a lot of people today would say, well, I'm not wicked and I'm not evil, therefore I'm good.
Are we talking about unbelievers or believers think that?
I think that unbelievers think that.
Because
maybe believers think that.
Well, we'll go down both paths.
Right.
I just want to know which one you want to get out first on that.
Yeah, I'm just looking at, you know, the conversations I have with people at work and outside of, you know, faith circles and whatnot. Is like,
and so
not many people would consider themselves wicked or evil.
And so that's where, yeah, when we think through, for those of us that are X's and older in the room, okay, when we think through the contextual difference to when we grew up, especially if you grew up in the South, you know, there was this pretty much an understanding of the Bible and church life within almost everybody. Okay, even the worst messed up in the town, you know, they still had this concept of God and the Bible and what was right and wrong in it. Type of thing. Today, 2024, you know, most people do not have that anymore. You know, most people are unchurched, never been there, and so to start a conversation with somebody, hey, you're a sinner and you're going to hell, you've already bypassed, you know, the point that Brian's pointing out here. Most people don't see themselves as being messed up that bad. And so you can't start the conversation off like we used to be able to do. Hey, you're a sinner. You need Jesus so you don't go to hell. You say you're a sinner. Well, that's just your truth. You know, because they don't believe in absolute truth. You know, and so that's where we've got to start talking about, and how we talk about, you know, the whole story of God from creation to the fall to redemption and then restoration or the new creation. They need a lot of background, a lot of filling in the gaps. Now, the Holy Spirit can zap them at any point, but we can't zap them at any point. We don't have that ability. We got to realize that. And so that's where often we need to make sure we have a relationship with them, and we need to help them have the background so that they can start to understand, man, I am kind of messed up on that part. Now, the second part of the conversation, Brian was taking us down there, you know, a lot of people, that once you're a believer, you know, you think that you don't stink anymore. Every decision you make, back to what Tiara was talking about there, every decision you make, you're either with God or you're against God.
Right.
Okay? We have to understand that. And when we are against God, we're doing what, David? We're in sin. Yeah, we're in sin. And that means that we are wicked, and that means that we are evil. And so even as believers, so if I let my anger go, if I let my pride come out, in that moment, I am God's enemy. Even though I'm a believer, I'm not losing my salvation, but I'm an enemy of God, I'm wicked, and I'm evil. And so we need to have that understanding as believers. Great points, Brian. Thank you. All right, so let's keep going. Somebody pick us up there. 16:17.
For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence.
So we continue this picture. What do we see in these two verses being brought out about those people?
It's like they're feeding that evil.
Yeah.
And they're trying to bring people with.
So say, Arlene.
They like it.
This jam.
They do.
They're trying to bring more people with them. And what?
They enjoy it.
Yeah.
They're enticing them.
Yeah. And so, you know, people that are not using the wisdom of God, they're liking it. They want to bring other people along with them. And They're enjoying it, even though we would sit here in Sunday school and we'd be like, you know, man, that's messed up. You know, how could you enjoy life, you know, without God's wisdom? But back to the second part of the conversation, you know, that Brian pointed out there. Hello. Every time we sin, we're being like them. You know, and so in the class I teach at CCBS, one of the things we're talking about in leadership this past week is chemistry. Right? And so, you know, are you a chemistry person that tries to bring people together to create harmony, to create unity, or are you a divisive person? Mm-hmm. Even as a Christian, a lot of Christians get off on creating division, gossiping. I know, not in our class. But well, in the other class.
Well, except for this one person, let me tell you about
it. Oh,
yeah.
What? Right. Is that because Bianca wasn't here today?
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
And of course, now when we see lost people getting off on being lost and doing that, it's easy for us to point that out. Like, oh, yeah, that's terrible.
That's when we become the Pharisees.
Oh, there we go. Whoa, yeah.
That's when we put that wow. Glory on our forehead, so everybody can see.
Yeah.
And because we're not yet glorified, we still do the same thing.
And that's where we have to try to be sanctifying.
Right.
You know, we should be able to look at our life since salvation, and we should be able to see we're more and more Christ-like. Now, not prideful that we trip up tomorrow, but yet we should be able to assess, okay, in this area compared to a year ago. And we should be doing that. And when we're having accountability conversations with people, you know, that should be something, things that circle back with us, we should bring it up.
I was just going to say, that's a great point that Miriam brought up about the Pharisees, because I forget what verse it was, but Jesus said to the disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, because a little leaven will cause the bread to rise.
Okay. And that's where, I don't know which, must have been Wednesday night discussion. You know, just what Joe, you were just saying about the veering off the path. You know, when we stop using godly wisdom as believers, it's not like we slam on the brakes and we go, I've had it with God and His wisdom. I'm not using it at all.
Yeah.
It's that leaven. You know, we stop denying it a little bit. Oh, in this hand, you know, in this area, I'm not going to listen to it. But then it goes to, well, this area, and then to this area, and to this area. And so that's all we do. We have to be constantly looking at every area, you know, every day.
So I've been reading in 1 Samuel, reading about Saul, and looking at how, I mean, at the beginning, his life was pretty, showed evidence of following the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But the enemy knows what exactly those other things are that we're grasping besides wisdom. And he'll, like, just lean in and attack whatever else you're grasping, which is why it is so important, all the things we're talking about, having accountability, like, hey, what else are you grasping onto, brother or sister? Because the enemy knows exactly what that is. And that's where Saul, it was his insecurity over the throne, jealousy, and, like, you look at his desperation. Like, it wasn't necessarily like, oh, I love doing evil. It was, I am desperate to hold on to this thing, and I'm not trusting the Lord in that. And Satan just took full advantage of that.
This whole, like, whole verse area, as I read it, I automatically jump to Matthew 7, 13, and 14. The whole picture of the like, narrow path and how it's supposed to be more difficult for most people emptied to the other gate. But, you know, a lot of times going the right path is much more difficult. It's supposed to be that daily.
It is. I mean, there is a cost to being a disciple. You know, there is a cost. You know, we need to realize that. And that's something that, you know, Scripture tells us we need to count the cost. And that's where, when we talk to people about, you know, salvation, if we only show them Jesus is Savior, and we don't show them that Jesus has to be Lord, we're not showing them the cost of that relationship. And then I think that's where we're creating a Matthew 7 believer often, Christian often, because they accepted Jesus, they believe Jesus as Savior, but they don't believe Him as Lord.
Yeah. Just looking again at verse 16 and 17, it's like, this is a good reminder of how devastating that life away from God is. And because I read this, keep reading through it, I'm like, this is pretty amazing, you know, in a wicked sense, that someone who acts like this, like they have to do something evil, they love the wine of violence, you know, it's like, that's a picture of us against, you know, without God's love and providence in our life. And the other thing I was thinking of is, if we don't have the Lord, like, we can hold that off on our own human power for so long, but eventually that's where it's going to end up.
So let's finish on an upswing. Somebody read us 18:19.
The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, shining brighter and brighter until midday. But the way of the wicked is like the darkest gloom. They don't know what makes them stumble.
The opportunity that we have is to have that full light. We don't have to be stumbling in the darkness. That's a personal choice. God wants us to be successful. You know, if you're in the 8:30 or if you're going to get it in the 10:45 service, you know, when Pastor talks about why does God test us, we always have to come to the understanding God is always testing us to grow us so that we can be successful. Because He's giving us opportunity to glorify Him. I mean, we always have to remember that. He created us for Him. Mm-hmm. And so the testing is so it brings about more glory of Him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, Satan, on the other hand, okay, he wants us to fail. God does not want us to fail. And so when God gives us a test, since He always wants us to be successful, what does He also always give us?
Everything we need to be successful. Mm-hmm.
So as a believer, in any area that you are tested this week, He has already given you whatever you're going to need to pass that test, to grow your faith, and to glorify Him. He's already given it to you. And so it's not an ability thing. It's a what thing?
Faith.
Trust.
Faith?
Faith.
Yeah. You know, it's a faith and a trust thing. You know, he's handed it to you. He's given you whatever it is. Because we all have the Holy Spirit. So the power, the wisdom, whatever we're needing for that moment, it's just up to us. Are we going to take it and run with it? Are we going to use it on that part? Darius, you look like you had a thought.
Oh.
Okay, you just might have had that look there.
Maybe. I mean, I'm
Sometimes I know some of you don't like to raise hands all the time. And so I just, when I look over here at Gene, you know, Gene's got that like little giveaway. When I look over there, his little eyes are like, yeah. Okay, Gene, go ahead and give it to us. So. I misread it today. Sorry about
but
that.
But I mean, I was looking at 2 Peter when you said that. And, 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power is granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory. And it talks about how the qualities that believers ought to possess and will naturally possess us in that working of the Holy Spirit. And reminds us that anyone who lacks this quality is so nearsighted that we're blind, having forgotten that we've been cleansed and blessed. Tracking along with what you're saying.
Gene, you got a thought there?
Okay.
No.
The idea of wisdom versus the path of wickedness. To understand that as we have the Holy Spirit, He allows us to recognize the truth in the world that is so utterly deceived. A lot of times I feel so overwhelmed that God has given me the grace to open my eyes to some of this stuff. And I look at how everybody else is just so foolish and stumbling.
Right.
Yeah. And that just led me to the part of what Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, you abide in me, I abide in you, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And to recognize that the reason that we can sit here and talk about this is
because the Holy Spirit has allowed us to see this. And that's where, for me, my temptation is to see it just like Gene was talking about. But out of, you know, pridefulness at times, sometimes I can go, well, they deserve that. And I don't need to go down that path. I need to see the blessing that I've been given and not throw them under the bus in that. We all can use a closing word of prayer.
Father God, thank you so much for bringing us together to study your word and to gather wisdom from Proverbs. Pray that you give us all safety and health and be with us as we go about our day, whether we're going to park, fellowship, or if you have other plans for us. Pray that you would be with us as we go throughout the week, that we would reflect our Christ likeness and grow in our knowledge of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. That's what I'm saying.